This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This big sister cannot tahan, so this big sister... No worry, brother. I will call him and not to talk, but rather to vent out, and then you suddenly come in and you come in to mess up things.
Hi, my name is Majidah Hashim and you're listening to Rock Bottom, the show where we try to find the silver lining in very, very difficult situations.
It came to that kind of a point that you really like, what is life all about, you know? And this is really sad. It's really sad that there's no scale to weigh it anymore. Things shouldn't be like this.
On the show with me today is Susan Saini. Susan is a mother of four and a serial entrepreneur. Our story starts with Susan as a bright-eyed girl just out of school. She's got the grades and she's got an interview to go into nursing school. But much to her mother's horror, Susan had other things in mind.
I knew that I got it, but something made me ask this question to the interviewer. If I want to cancel the contract, what entails, you know, what would be required?
Why are you asking questions like that?
I don't know, but it was something that like made me like ask this question. And I asked that question, and I realized the moment I asked that question, it was like, oh no, I don't think we want somebody who's asking this question, right? Now, the part that really got to me was to come back home and tell my mom, I didn't get it. The feeling that I had when I had to come back home and tell my mom that I didn't get it. I can never forget that disappointment. That you know, that feeling that, whoa, I mean, you could have just got in. What's wrong with you? You know, why do you have to ask that kind of a question, right? Here's the thing. I felt good, but I was like terrified because I had to tell my mom.
You were relieved for yourself.
At least for yourself. But when it came to my mom, the part like, how am I going to tell her? What exactly am I going to tell her the truth that I go and ask them that, you know, what's the contract like, and if I want to terminate the contract, what would it entail? I mean, but that's a fair question, actually.
And that's the fact, like, that's the truth, lah.
You know, but so when I went back home and when I told my mom that, oh, I didn't get it, I saw that disappointment.
Oh.
And I felt it like, I really, really felt it like I lost something. But at the same time, it was weird because I was like, it's okay with me, you know? But somehow I disappointed my mom. Mm. So I cannot shake off that particular feeling. But I also learned something about myself, that there's something inside of me always know what is it that is for me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that was the first sort of like, wow time, like, wow. Time out, you really need to know yourself kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of us live in the expectations of our parents, right?
Exactly. I think you know that very well.
I think we all know that growing up, right?
Right. Then you have to explain to them why, whatever it is, you have your grades, right? What went wrong and things like that. So that feeling, that the picture... in, you know, that's in my mind, that I saw how she looked disappointed. Mm. Because she probably just said, I want my daughter to do well and go and do some profession and things like that.
It was something she could have told the neighbours about. You know, my daughter is going to nursing school.
Probably. So, but, you know.
How long did she take to get over that?
I don't know how long she took over. Probably she didn't really get over it, but she never did mention about it anymore. So it wasn't a big thing after that. It was more of me, okay, what do I want to do after this? And I just went on along. So I went to advertising, I went to airlines, and I had good times there. Because then I really realized that I'm a people person.
Mm.
And I care about people. When I was in the airline, I could sense somebody's feeling, you know, down, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I can pay attention to this person, and people would appreciate that. And I felt good. I really felt good about that. Then I realised, this is me. You know, I like to... Maybe you can say kepo also. Like, hey, how are you today? You know, you feeling okay or not? You know, that kind of thing. You know? So that to me was like something which brings me some sort of a satisfaction.
Mm.
So, but before I left for all these things, I had a relationship problem with my dad.
Oh, okay.
See, he had a second family.
Ooh, ooh.
Dang, dang, dang. Ooh. So he had a second family, right? So when I started, you know, flying, and I, you know, I had time out from family matters, and I was telling myself, you know what, it's over and done with, and then, you know, I should try to reconcile back with my dad.
There's this complicated family thing happening.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, when you talk about two families, it's always complicated, right? So I decided to do something about it instead of like letting it, like, you know, making
hanging it like that,
there,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So I tried to call him. At that point of time, we didn't have handphone. Oh my God. I'm giving away.
Revealing a little bit more than.
So, you know, we didn't have handphone. So you can't call him directly. And, so I had to call his house. And I called, from, you know, this is from overseas, you know, and I called and I called. And every time somebody else would pick up the phone, and I say, can I speak to so-and-so? And they say, oh, he's not in. And who are you? I say, I'm so-and-so. I just mention my name. And it happened so many times, and he never returned the call. One fine day, I just got tired of calling. And I said, for the last time I called, and that person said, oh, he's not in again. But who are you?
Yeah.
And I say, I'm his daughter. And there was this silence. And actually, this is a helper. This wasn't even the family. I mean, the family knows that he has a family with kids. This is a helper. And all hell.
The helper said that she was the daughter.
No, the helper asked who I am.
Oh, asked who you are. So you said you are the daughter.
Ah. Jeng, jeng, jeng. So like, what daughter?
It's like, I didn't know there was another.
I didn't know
the helper wouldn't know those things.
The helper wouldn't know these things, right? But I was desperate. I wanted to talk to my dad.
Yeah, look.
And my dad called me at 6 o'clock in the morning where I was and said, don't call me anymore. That was it. That really put me into a, you know, it's like a depth, you know.
Mm.
That you felt like, oh my God, I've been disowned. By my own father. For just trying to connect to him. For trying to mend back whatever that he has done. It wasn't me who has done all this thing. He's the one who found, you know, who went for another family.
How long have you not seen him at this point?
That time, probably about 3 years.
Okay.
So it was long enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so from then on, I sort of vowed not to be in contact with him.
If let's say he had picked up the phone at that point, at some point in time, or somebody had passed the phone over to him, what would you have said to him? What would you have wanted to say to him?
All I wanted was to just say, hi, how are you? And start a conversation and start to get to know each other back again.
Mm.
Tell him what I'm doing, where I am. And
to have that father figure.
To have that father figure.
Yeah.
You know, I remember what it was like when I was young and when he was, you know, around. And, you know, when he went, because he was in the army. So when he had to go to the jungle together with his units, you know. And when he came back, how he looked, how he has changed. I remember all those things.
Mm.
So this is a girl kind of a thing and a father, you know, girl with a father kind of stuff, right? So I wanted the same thing again, I think.
Still hanging on to that lah, at that point in time, kan?
At that point in time.
Also because you were going out to different places and you wanted to share this experience with
someone.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Mm.
So when he said that, I was like, that's it, man. I'm not going to call you. He wasn't being easy towards my mom also and towards my brother. And the reason why I was flying, because I needed money to make sure that my brother gets to go to university. Because he was like, I'm out. I don't have anything to do with this whole thing.
Who even jaga the other family?
His other family is actually jagaing him. So that's, you know, but he's smart lah. You can say he's smart lah. You know, he found a family who wants to jaga him. So he doesn't want to jaga us. Okay, I mean, that's, I think, was what was going on at that point of time.
Mm.
So I had to go flying so that I had to make sure that I have, you know, I get to keep enough money, save enough money for my brothers to go to uni for their education.
Mm.
Then he would, then when my brothers, you know, were, when they were getting married, he would create all kinds of problems.
When your brother was getting married?
When my brother was getting married.
So this tiba-tiba he wants to be in the picture again lah.
So this big sister cannot tahan. So this big sister, no worry brother, I will call him. I will call him and not to talk, but rather to vent out.
Yeah, all this while you didn't want to be part of the show.
Yeah. And then you suddenly come in and you come in to mess up things. So everybody was stressed by it. So it came to that kind of a point that you really like, what is life all about?
Mm.
You know, and this is really sad. It's really sad that there's no scale to weigh it anymore. That to say that, you know, things shouldn't be like this. You know, we have a beautiful family. We have a perfect family. None of us are sick. We are all healthy. We are good people. My brothers are good, good kids. They don't do drugs. They don't do anything else. But really, we should be better than all this. We could have achieved more. But actually, if you want to achieve more, it's not because of all these things, lah. It's whether you want or you don't want, lah. Mm. You know. So anyway, as time passes by, and I found some form of a healing, and I learned about, and I said that I want to heal myself, you know. And part of the thing is to forgive. It was one of a session when they actually said, okay, today we're gonna do forgiveness session. I'm like, by that time, I actually told myself, you know what, with my dad, I have to forgive him because he can't change his past. I can't change my past. So what can you do?
It's just stuck in the middle, nowhere.
You're going to be stuck there, right? So I said, I've already forgiven him. So, and I also forgiven his other half, you know. So then they said, no, we'll think of 2% to forgive. And this is how we should go about it. So we had a meditation session. And I cried and cried and cried. I was the only one who was crying in the whole hall, and I was the only one who was really sobbing it out. And it was really uncontrollable. And my sister-in-law was sitting next to me. And it was like, but the moment they say the session is over, I felt the best relief ever. And it was like, when we say a ton of weight, it's not a ton, it's more than a ton of weight. It's this feeling of freedom that I have inside me.
Because I think you finally let yourself cry about it.
And you let it go and you really like, I really forgive you. I just, you know, this is it. I wish upon every one of us to have that. Because the world would have been a much better place. And we would be much happier people doing much better things and doing things which makes more sense, you know, instead of like wallowing into ourselves and, oh, I'm the victim, I'm the...
Why you do this to me,
you know, that kind of stuff. So from then on, immediately after that session, I actually called my dad.
Oh, this time he picked up phone?
Yeah, this time he has a handphone already.
Yeah, no choice. He doesn't recognize your number. He had to pick it up.
And we spoke. I said, look, Dad, come over for dinner. Let's talk. And he came. Happily, he came.
He didn't have that kind of tone like, I don't want to see you.
No, he didn't. And he was like, happily came over.
This was years and years and years and years later. Guys.
Yes. I think everybody mellowed also. Mm. But it was, everything was at the right time, perhaps. So he came and we had dinner together and we would talk about things, and he was actually becoming a granddad to my kids.
And this was, he was meeting the grandchildren for the first time?
No, he has been meeting, but he has never been communicating with them. Like, you know, like, as a grandfather said, you know, if you want to eat slowly, that kind of thing he'll tell, you know, the kind of advisors, do good, you know, that kind of stuff. So he actually had time to sit down.
Bond, right?
Bond. Mm-hmm. Talk, advise, and understand what this is all. You know, it's really a grandfather, grandkid session time. For that, I'm very, very grateful. Very grateful. And I really yearn for that feeling of that forgiveness feeling. I yearn that, Jose, please, next time, I just want to be able to do that. Like, I forgive somebody, you know, that kind of thing.
I've known Susan for over a year now, and one of those things that comes up time and time again is how generous she is. Just how generous can Susan get? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out. We're going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Rock Bottom on BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Rock Bottom. My name is Majida Hashim, and in the studio with me today is Susan Saini. Susan is a mom of four and a serial entrepreneur. And just before the break, we were talking about generosity.
So, when after this session with my dad, I opened a business. I started a business.
Yeah. Okay.
It was really a baby of mine. It was something that I was so passionate, so crazy about, and it was like something I just couldn't get off of my mind. I thought just like, this is something I have to do because I can't let my four kids to live in this kind of a world. There's something that I have to do. I don't know whether the impact is going to be great or not, but I have to do something. So what happened was, I got some school friends to come in to become partner. One of them does not have any money to invest in. So, which to me, it was fine. I'm just trying to help her. Okay. This is a person that, you know, when she doesn't have anything, we would buy groceries of things, send it to the house.
Mm.
Because this is a friend. A friend in need, we just, you know, set it up. We buy the groceries, send it to the house, and this. So when I started the business, I said, why don't you come and join in? And she said, I don't have money. I said, doesn't matter to me. We have enough money. We just, you work here, you'll get paid, but you work together with us in that sense, right? It went on fine. But along the line, I was beginning to feel that something is wrong with my relationship with this particular partner. So the final straw came in when she was hospitalized, and then I told her, it's okay, no problem, I'll take over, we'll do with whatever we can.
At the shop?
At the shop.
Okay.
After a few days, she was discharged, and I didn't hear from her.
Hey?
So I called her. I said, as I was calling her, she drove past by me, and I was driving, and my son was with me. And then we saw her passing by. She didn't see us, so I just called her. I said, hey, are you okay? Oh, I'm okay. Somebody's driving me to the hospital to see the doctor. I'm like, she was driving. I saw her driving. So, and then she said, I actually dropped by to the shop just now. I said, oh, you dropped by to the shop. And at that point of time in the shop, we had an intern. We had a staff and we had an intern. So I said, oh, you dropped by the shop. And she said, yeah, but there was nobody was in the shop. I'm like, oh, what happened to our staff and the intern? Yeah. Like, okay, it's okay. I'll take care of it. I'll go to the shop. I went to the shop and I saw my intern there and saw my staff there. I said, did you guys go for your lunch? I said, oh, no, auntie, I'm not hungry. La. I said, you mean you didn't leave the shop? No, we didn't leave the shop. But my partner came and didn't you see my partner? No, we were here the whole time. My son was so angry with me at that point of time. When he got back home, he told me straight to my face, you know, did you realize she lied to you?
Yeah, did you?
I'm like, still in denial.
Cannot digest. Like, you will not.
Like, why are you doing these things? And from then onwards, like, things were just getting bad. And it actually affected our other partners. She actually got our partners some stories. I don't know what, but it was bad. So much so, I was telling my husband, I'm like, this is my baby of a business. I really love what we are doing. And this is important. And I realized that my partners are not into it. Lesson number one. If they are not into that kind of a business, your kind of a business, they cannot be your partner. They can't. Because they're not passionate enough to go on the long distance.
Mm.
This thing sometimes, it really needs time to see how it goes. And you have to work together.
Yeah, because there's definitely going to be good times, but also hard times. Somebody's going to stick it out with you.
You've got to stick it out. Mm. But you realize, then I realize that they really are not into it. I'm the only crazy woman that is like refilling the bottle, like loving it so much, you know, stuff like that. I mean, am I facing the reality of it? I don't know. So my husband said, give the business away. My share of my business, I gave it to this person.
Why?
My husband said, just give it. Because she doesn't have anything else.
Well, she lied to you.
I know, right? I don't know how to explain this.
You just said that they are not passionate and you just gave it over to them.
I know, but she needs the money. She needs the money. And I said, okay. For the first time, I agreed with my husband. I said, okay, I'll give my part of my business to her.
But you're giving your baby away to her.
I know. But it was something that it really hurt me. It really hurt me. It hurt me that this so-called friends really didn't turn out to be friends. And it hurt me that this baby of mine is not going to the direction that I wanted it to be, or you know, that I have it. So I said, never mind. I will sacrifice this. Make sure she will have something to run for, so that she has a business, so that she can take care of her family. But one thing I asked from her is that the loan that she took from me, okay, please pay it back. Because that wasn't my money, that was my husband's money, actually.
Oh, not nice. Lah macam tu kan?
You know what I'm saying? So that was my husband. She said, yeah. So I gave the business to her, and she didn't even say thank you.
Ooh.
Then she had the audacity to go on Facebook to say things some more on top of that. Already tak cakap terima kasih, you know, that's fine. So I was like, it really made me like, what was wrong?
Yeah.
What went wrong? What did I do? Actually, the question is, what did I do?
Why do you stop blaming yourself? You're questioning
yourself. Felt that way. Oh. I really felt that way because the other two friends didn't say anything much. So I felt that it was me. And you know, I felt really down. And I didn't call anybody at all. I didn't talk to anybody. But one of my friends knew this about this. And she was like, Sue, I told you about this. I'm like, but how can she, how can this happen?
Because you feel so betrayed in that sense, right?
So the betrayal, exactly. The betrayal is like, what? Have I not done enough?
Because your gut was saying something wrong. Your friends were saying something wrong. Your loyalty is sent by her.
So I'm like, I want to forgive her right now. I just want to forgive her right now because, you know, I must understand that if I want to give something to somebody, please don't expect something in return. Rule number one. There's many rule number one, okay? If you want to give something, don't expect for return. And you make sure that you are able to give within the means that you can give.
Right, but one thing is to give to someone who did not say thank you, by the way, but the person goes on and badmouths you.
Yeah. Well, here's the best part, Here's the best part. Actually, the day after I gave her the company, I signed all the papers. I think a week later, somebody called me and said, I want you in my company. I said, I don't have any money to invest. I don't want your money. I want you in the company. I'm like, I want you to be the top part here. I'm like, are you serious? I said, yes. You see, is this karma? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, unbelievable, right? Like, this is really unbelievable. And I went in, I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure you want me? Because I just went, I was hesitating because I don't want to rebound in business relationship. And we went on and we were like, so we got this thing started. And it went on.
Did the girl pay you back?
No. Mm. Oh, after 1 year, I said, can I have my money back for the loan? Not from the business partner, from the loan. She texted back and said, it's been more than 1 year. I don't think she'd be asking back from me. I have it. Oh, black and white. Text. I'm like, my husband said, Let it go.
No, but just because that's because she hasn't made an effort to come give you back the money.
So you understand how difficult it is to let it go at times. Like, how can people be like this?
Yeah.
So that's why when you ask me, when somebody does this, there are many factors that's involved. But if you can immediately say, it's okay lah, forget it lah, whatnot, it's okay. But when you are coming down to this kind, you never imagine it's that kind of a low level. It's like, wow. wow. And then my husband said, it's okay. So I said, okay, it's okay, let it go. Because you know what? It really doesn't matter.
It does. It's
no,
money.
It doesn't matter. Yes, it is money. But like I said, like I showed you just now, the moment I gave her the business, somebody came and gave me, which is much more like, wow.
It came back to you in a different way.
It came back to me in a different way. there from the past experience that I had, you know, and I realized that sometimes I have to make a stand to whatever that I feel. I have to take me in my guts with it. But I didn't learn the lesson because somebody else, another friend, wanted to borrow money. And she was crying on the phone.
Yeah,
she,
but people who want to borrow money cry on the phone all the time.
Okay, she was the first one crying on the phone. Okay, she really cried on the phone, and I was feeling bad. This is a childhood friend, and she was crying on the phone. Okay, I will give you back the money after so much or so forth. It's more than a year now, and guess what? She bought a new car.
Oh, with the money, or she just recently bought a new car.
She recently.
So instead of paying you back, she bought a car.
Yeah.
Well, how do you react to something like that?
It was the worst part. Was I actually found out because I went to the house. I'm like,
new car.
There's a new car. Huh. I actually looked at this new car. I said, oh yeah, well, you know, we just got it. And I'm like, okay. So
did you ask for your money?
I did twice, and I said, that's it.
Well, what did she reply?
She didn't really reply.
Oh.
So that's it, folks. Don't ask money from me anymore.
Or the tactic to ask money from Susan is cry on the phone.
No, it's not going to work anymore. I don't have any more money. That's all the money I can pull to be invested into so-called friendship. Actually, that is, if you look at it, it's sort of like an investment, like if you want to take it. But it's more of like, I want to help you because you need the money. But when you're in good times now, please.
Don't not forget people please, who helped you, know, you.
Because I can use the money for better purpose. You see, that's the reason why we don't learn sometimes when we don't learn the lesson, it keeps on happening to you again and again until you learn the lesson and you say, no, I had enough. And that's the end of the lesson. And you realize it and you don't feel bad that you don't lend the money because that's all the capacity. Because you are responsible for many other things. You are responsible towards your family, number one. Right? Your brothers, your sisters, your own kids and whatnot. So if you can't take care of them, how are you going to take care of other people? I did it at the point of time when I know that I can help you. But don't take this for granted.
Yeah, lah.
And don't answer me that way, lah. After 1 year.
Don't answer anyone who has borrowed money that way to anyone.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I feel good because I felt good, especially on my last birthday because I was finally told that it wasn't me that all those things are happening. Because that person was doing the same thing with
to
other
everybody.
People.
They kumpul duit sini, 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 then buy car.
That's the second person, the first person. So that person does that anyway, everywhere, wherever she has gone to. So I felt like, now I feel pity.
Can gang up because you're not the only one.
Well, I don't have to because apparently some of them want to sue her. So I'm like, now I feel bad and I feel pity for her because she doesn't realize that, you know.
But some people have to learn the hard way in that way.
I suppose so. But like us too lah. Like me too lah. Tak nak belajar, you know, like this kind of thing. Kena sekali lagi. You know what I'm saying? But the worst part was the fact that I felt the betrayal.
I think that you could have put a price on the loan, but the price on that friendship is the one that you really cannot, when you lose that.
My dad, when he said, don't call me your dad anymore, that wasn't even betrayal, that was something else.
I can't find words for that.
There isn't. No child should be, you know, hearing this.
To hear those words.
Yeah, no child should be hearing this. But to know your friends betrayed you, for nothing, actually. Actually, it's for nothing. Then that's the saddest part.
I think for all this while where you considered her a friend, to learn that maybe she did not consider you the same way.
Probably.
Can, to realise that.
Probably. So, yours truly is the who's one going around, oh, it's okay. No lah, she's okay lah, she's good lah. I actually told my, she's good, don't worry. You know? And when he questioned me, you're putting her name into the partnership. She, you know, like, it's okay lah. Everything is okay lah.
So for the new business, no one comes on freeloading. Everybody puts
nobody.
In money.
I really made sure that nobody comes on freeloading. And if you are not interested in really passionate about this thing,
you can go.
It's okay. it's all right. You don't have to come in just because I asked you to come in. You come in because you're Sue, I'm Mati Mati, we are going to do this, 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 this. Mm. And, you know, because I believed in this, that is a person that I would want as a partner. Because you can't make other people work. Or it's not work, you know. Actually, it's supposed to be something like you want to do, not because it's called work. You have to do it because it's the right thing to do. There's a difference here.
My takeaway from today's episode with Susan Saini is about forgiveness. But not just forgiving people who have wronged you and people who have hurt you, but also forgiving yourself and allowing yourself to trust again. And Susan is a classic story of somebody who has been hurt and forgiven and has learned to trust and have gone through this cycle over and over again. And while many people may say that she is just really naive, there's actually something quite beautiful about this, if you think about it. You're listening to Rock Bottom on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.